Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison. On this evening's show, we've got songs by Harry Ruby and Jerome Kern. We're going to ask some questions and celebrate the birthday of a record by the Gene Goldkett Band. But we're going to start off with a vocabulary lesson. I learned a new word the other day. The word is xanthochroid. X-A-N-T-H-O-C-H-R-O-I-D. Now, I happen to be married to a xanthochroid. A xanthochroid is simply a blonde-haired, blue-eyed person with fair skin. So here's a set of songs about xanthochroids. Well, at least about some people with blue eyes. We had a set of songs about blondes a few weeks ago. Now, I just love this first record. It's Billy Murray with Elvin J. McAnally and his orchestra from November of 1925.
Beating when they stare, man beware, she tells little white lies with two little blue little eyes. ¶¶
that baby got reason to be. And though my baby may be crazy, she's tickled pink with me. I'll tell the world she's a sweet, sweet baby, suits me to a T. I'm tickled pink with a blue-eyed baby, and she's tickled pink with me. When we get together, there's joy in the air. Two birds of a feather, a happy-go-lucky pair. And when we love, there ain't no maybe, that's easy to see. For I'm tickled pink with a blue-eyed baby, and she's tickled pink with me.
Has all the boys up a tree. That southern lady from Memphis is just as modest as can be. She'll let you hold her hand, she'll tease you all she can, she'll neck a little bit, but she knows when to quit. That blue-eyed baby from Memphis is just the baby for me. Thank you.
From a Brunswick 78 recorded in New York on April 26, 1933, Don Redman and his orchestra with Harlan Lattimore taking the vocal on That Blue-Eyed Baby from Memphis. That was preceded by Fred Rich and his orchestra with Smith Ballou and I'm Tickled Pink with a Blue-Eyed Baby from November 19, 1930. Before that, we heard Two Little Blue Little Eyes, and we started the whole thing off with Billy Murray, backed by Elvin J. McAnally and his orchestra, and What a Blue-Eyed Baby You Are. And you're hearing it all on Rapidly Rotating Records with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We'll be back to pop some questions when we return right after this. This past week, January 24th marked the birth in 1915 of TV game show producer Mark Goodson, who, along with Bill Todman, formed Goodson Todman Productions and produced shows including What's My Line, I've Got a Secret, Family Feud, and The Price is Right. In 1939, before he teamed up with Bill Todman, Mark Goodson created his first game show, Pop the Question, for KFRC in San Francisco. In Pop the Question, players threw darts at balloons to collect prizes inside. So here to commemorate Messrs. Goodson and Todman is a set of songs whose titles are questions, starting off with Bill Brown and his Brownies.
Some folks are annoyed because they can't lay up a cent. Others are perplexed about the latest picture show. But there is really only just one thing I'd like to know. What kind of a noise annoys an oyster? No matter what I do, the answer won't come through. What kind of a noise annoys an oyster? That's a question I would like an answer to. A little piece of cheese annoys a mouse, there is no doubt. But here's the one thing I've been trying hard to figure out. What kind of a noise annoys an oyster when an oyster's in a stew? What kind of a noise annoys an oyster? I asked them at the zoo. They said they wish they knew. What kind of a noise annoys an oyster? That's a question I would like an answer to. A piece of cheese annoys the mouse annoys in turn the cat, who then annoys the dog, but still I cannot learn. What kind of a noise annoys an oyster when an oyster's in a stew? Oysters live a life within a very narrow scope. One thing I've found out is that an oyster don't like soap. I'll admit the problem's been a sticker from the go. I've asked most everyone I've met and no one seems to know. What kind of a noise annoys an oyster? I figured till I'm blue, so now I'm asking you. What kind of a noise annoys an oyster? That's the question I would like an answer to. A piece of cheese annoys the mouse annoys the cat annoys the dog annoys your Sunday hat. But what kind of a noise annoys an oyster when an oyster's in a stew? Oh, what kind of a noise annoys an oyster? I've asked each one I knew from here to Kalamazoo. What kind of a noise annoys an oyster? That's a question I would like an answer to. Now simple things annoy a lot of simple folks, you see, and that's most likely why this question is annoying me. But what kind of a noise annoys an oyster when an oyster's in a stew-doodle-doodle-doo-doo?
Upon a time there was a fable that has lived a long, long time, all about the little people in the famous nursery rhyme. Once upon a time they held a meeting to decide what should be done, all because some little maiden frowned upon her neighbor's son.
Oh, come along now, children, and bring all your toys. We'll take the magic carpet to the land of joys.
There was little Jack Horner and Bo Peep too, the old woman who lived in the shoe. As everyone knows, the question arose, who made little boy blue? They awoke the king's horses and went to look through all the pages of each picture book. Though everyone tried, they couldn't decide who made little boy blue. In the wood, Red Riding Hood said she'd tell them if she could. Humpty Dumpty on the wall was about to tell them when he had his fall. Then the little Miss Muffet confessed she knew and told the story that's old as is new. His love she had spurned, and now you've all learned who made little boy blue.
That tune was written by J. Fred Coots, who also gave us Sunday and Love Letters in the Sand, and the lyric was by Arthur Swanstrom and Benny Davis, who also wrote Babyface. Why was performed there by Ben Selvin and his orchestra, with the vocal refrain by the Rollickers from December 9, 1929. Before that, Henry Hall and the new BBC Dance Orchestra, and Who Made Little Boy Blue from November 10, 1934. Little Boy Blue was preceded by Frank Crummett asking What Kind of a Noise Annoys an Oyster from November 18, 1930. And we started off that quiz set of songs with What Kind of Rhythm Is That from trombonist Bill Brown and his Brownies. The Brownies included trumpeter Ovie Alston, who would later play in Claude Hopkins' big band as well as lead his own band, Rupert Cole, who played baritone sax in that recording, but who also taught himself alto sax, and who also played in the Horace Henderson and Don Redman bands. I'm happy to say that you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records on Island Radio, KISL 88.7 Avalon. I'm your host, Glenn Robison. I'm here each and every Sunday evening at 6, and I hope you will be as well. But if you happen to miss the regular Sunday show, you can hear it rebroadcast the following Saturday at 6. Your requests and comments about the show are always welcome and can be sent by email to glenn@glennrobison.com, GLENNROBISON, by postal mail to P.O. Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711, that's P.O. Box 145, Claremont, California, 91711. Or you can give me a call at area code 909-641-0805. 909-641-0805. We'll be back to celebrate a couple of birthdays when we return right after this. This past week, January 27th, marked the birth in 1885 in New York City of Jerome Kern. He got his start in Broadway theaters as a song plugger and rehearsal pianist, and began contributing songs to musical shows. His first hit was Very Good, Eddie, in 1915, written with librettist Guy Bolton. In 1927, along with Oscar Hammerstein II, he wrote Showboat. In 1939, Kern moved to Hollywood and wrote exclusively for films. Jerome Kern is credited with over 1,000 songs in 104 stage and film productions, including Old Man River in 1937, Smoke Gets in Your Eyes in 1933, and 1939's All the Things You Are. Here are two songs from Jerome Kern, starting off with Fred Astaire.
We should be like a couple of hot tomatoes, but you're as cold as yesterday's mashed potatoes. A fine romance you won't nestle, a fine romance you won't. castle. You're just as hard to land as the Ile de France. I haven't got a chance. This is a fine romance.
On a hilltop high, you and I, shiny and new, a cottage that two can fill. And we'll be pleased to be called the folks who live on the hill. Oh, someday we may be adding a thing or two. Just a wing or two. We will make changes as any family will. But we will always be called the folks who live on the hill. Our veranda will command a view of meadows green, the sort of view that seems to want to be seen. And when the kids grow up and leave us, we'll sit and look at that same old view, just we two, Darby and Joan, who used to be Jack and Jill. The folks who like to be called what they have always been called, the folks who live on the hill. Command a view of meadows green, the sort of view that seems to want to be seen. And when the kids grow up and leave us, we'll sit and look at that same old view, just we two, Darby and Joan, who used to be Jack and Jill. the folks who like to be called what they have always been called, the folks who live on the hill.
Two songs from Jerome Kern, born 116 years ago yesterday. Bing Crosby, backed by John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, and The Folks Who Live on the Hill, from September 20th, 1937. And Fred Astaire, with Johnny Green and his orchestra, and A Fine Romance. I'm Glenn Robison, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records on Island Radio, KISL 88.7, Avalon. 10 years to the day after Jerome Kern, Harry Ruby was born, also in New York City. Harry Ruby started working as a staff pianist for various music publishers, then accompanied vaudeville groups such as the Bootblack Trio and the Messenger Boys Trio. In 1920, Harry Ruby and lyricist Bert Kalmar teamed up to form a songwriting duo that would last until Kalmar's death in the late 40s. The team produced a large number of stage and movie hits such as I Want to Be Loved by You, Who's Sorry Now, Three Little Words, A Kiss to Build a Dream On, and many more. After 10 years of coming up with hits for such Broadway productions as Ladies First in 1918, Helen of Troy, New York in 1923, The Ramblers in 1926, and Good Boy in 1928, the duo moved out to Hollywood and wrote hits for over 10 motion pictures, including the Amos and Andy film Check and Double Check in 1930, and the Marx Brothers features Animal Crackers and Duck Soup. In 1950, Red Skelton and Fred Astaire portrayed Ruby and Kalmar in a movie about their lives and music called Three Little Words. Other songwriters that Ruby worked with over the course of his career included Edgar Leslie, Rube Bloom, and Fred Allert. Harry Ruby died in Woodland Hills, California on December 22, 1974. Here's a pair of Harry Ruby songs, starting off with Vaughn DeLeith.
Thank you. da 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 da.
Two songs from Harry Ruby, born 106 years ago yesterday. Three Little Words, Frank Brown and his Tutors, at least on the label, actually the Duke Ellington Orchestra, Duke on piano and leading his arrangement on October 30th, 1930. Irving Mills performs a vocal on that one, and before that, Vaughn DeLeith, the original Radio Girl, backed by the Broadway Nightlights, a Ben Selvin band, and I Want to Be Loved by You, from October 16th, 1928. This is Rapidly Rotating Records. I'm your host, Glenn Robison, and I'll be back right after this. Oops. You caught me. I was just enjoying an Eskimo pie. You know, the Eskimo pie ice cream confection was patented this past week on January 24th in 1922 by Christian K. Nelson of Onawa, Iowa. And while I finish this up, I just happen to have a couple of songs by some Eskimos. The Clico Club Eskimos, that is.
Thank you.
What am I gonna do if you turn me down when I'm so crazy over you? I'd be so lonely. Where am I gonna go if you turn me down? Why blacken all my skies of blue? I'll tell you, I'm not asking any miracle. It can be done, it can be done. I know a clergyman who will grow lyrical and make us one, and make us one. So, my one and only, there isn't a reason why you should turn me down when I'm so crazy over you.
Of love undying at sundown. Every little bird is resting and feather nesting at sundown. Each little rosebud is sleeping while shadows are creeping. In a little cottage cozy, the world seems rosy at sundown, where a loving smile will greet me and always meet me at sundown. I seem to sigh, I'm in heaven, when night is falling and love is calling me home.
Thank you.
A pair of songs from Harry Reaser's Clico Club Eskimos to commemorate one of my favorite foods, the Eskimo pie. We heard My One and Only from December 5th, 1927, and also from 1927, At Sundown. Both of those recordings featured the distinctive voice of Tommy Stax. The Clico Club Company of Mills, Massachusetts, which produced Soda Pop, began sponsoring Harry Reaser's half-hour radio show on NBC in 1925, and the band began broadcasting as Harry Reaser's Clico Club Eskimos. He must have helped them sell a lot of soda because Clico Club was the band's sponsor for the next 10 years. The Clico Club Company was also the first to package their Soda Pop in cans. In 1938, they distributed about 100,000 cases of their ginger ale in a low-profile, wax-lined, cone-top can made by the Continental Can Company. But there were leakage, flavor absorption problems, and difficulty in stacking and handling the cans, and they weren't used for another decade. Now, where else are you going to find such vital information as that but here on Rapidly Rotating Records with yours truly, Glenn Robison? We have another birthday to celebrate on this evening's show, the birthday of this next record, which is 74 years old today. Here's Gene Goldkett and his orchestra.
Over a four-leaf clover that I overlooked before. One leaf is sunshine, the second is rain, the third one the roses that grow in the lane. You know there's no need explaining that one remaining is someone that I adore. I'm looking over a pretty little four-leaf clover that I overlooked before.
Gene Goldkett and his orchestra, including Bix and Joe Venuti and Billy Murray on the vocal, and I'm Looking Over a Four-Leaf Clover, recorded 74 years ago today. I'm Glenn Robison, and you've been listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, heard each Sunday evening at 6 here on KISL Avalon. I hope you'll tune in again next week when I'll be back with more toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. Until then, your comments and requests are most welcome and can be sent by email to glenn@glennrobison.com, by postal mail to P.O. Box 145, Claremont, California 91711, or you can give me a call at area code 909-641-0805. Joe Gibson and his orchestra are going to take us out with another Clover song, I Found a Four-Leaf Clover from July of 1922. And as always, thank you ever so much for your very kind attention.